The Word of Faith Netcast is on the air. Well, praise the Lord, this is Dr. Bill Bailey, and this is the Word of Faith Netcast. I'm so glad you could join us once again as we continue our study of spiritual gifts. And we've got a lot of things to talk about today. We're going to really get into some good things and some powerful things from the Word of God in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. We're going from 13 to 14 now. And if you missed the last edition of the Word of Faith Netcast, you need to go back and listen to that and so to speak, get caught up, because we're not going to have time to go back and get into some of what we've already covered. Praise the Lord. So do that. Go back. You can go to our website, WOFM.org, stands for Word of Faith Ministries, WOFM.org. Go back to that website. Go back to the previous edition of the Netcast, and you'll be able to get, so to speak, caught up. All right, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, where we left off last time. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13, "And now abideth faith, hope, charity, or divine love, these three, but the greatest of these is divine love." Now, the operation of love with regard to the spiritual gifts is a key part of this. Now remember, Paul is writing this letter to the Corinthian church as a corrective letter. There were some things that were occurring there that needed to be corrected. Now, one of the areas that they were operating in is they were using spiritual gifts in such a way as to elevate themselves. They were thinking, we're spiritual, we're mature because we operate in spiritual gifts. Well, let me just mention something about that right now. Operating in spiritual gifts is not a sign of maturity. All right? Operating in spiritual gifts is a sign that you have given yourself to the Lord to be used, and if you're available, He will use you, but it's not a sign of spiritual maturity. Any Christian that is open to be used by the Holy Ghost can be used by the Holy Ghost. It's no indicator of spiritual maturity. It is an indicator that you're willing to let the Lord use you, and that's good. But spiritual maturity is a matter of character. Spiritual maturity is not so much about the spiritual gifts as it is about the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. The fruit of the Spirit has to do with spiritual character, whether you operate in forgiveness, whether you operate in love. And so what Paul is saying is, I'm going to show you a more excellent way to live a Christian life and to operate in the things of the Spirit, and that is by love. Now, he makes that plain in verse 2 of this chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, when he says, "Though I have the gift of prophecy, and I understand all mysteries, and I operate in all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, or divine love, then I am nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not divine love, it profits me nothing. Divine love suffers long, is kind, it envies not, it vaunts not itself, it's not puffed up." See, these are all character-related things. "It does not behave itself unseemly, does not seek its own, is not easily provoked, it thinks no evil, it rejoices not in iniquity, but it rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, it believes all things, it hopes all things, it endures all things. Love does not fail." Divine love, operating in divine love, puts you in a position that you don't fail, because you're operating according to the love of God. Okay, so that was his more excellent way that he wanted to show us, that he talked about over in chapter 12, is operating in love. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians 14. This is what I wanted to get into today. This is the key thing that I want to talk about. First of all, before we even start, I want you to notice a couple of things as we go through these scriptures. The primary thing you need to see is Paul's concern as he's writing this is how you operate spiritual gifts in the church. In other words, in a church service, in a public meeting. Not so much in your private prayer closet, but in a public meeting. Watch for that. As we read through this, watch for that phrase, in the church. Okay? Have you got your highlighter ready? You need to make note of this, because you'll be amazed at the difference it will make in your understanding of this chapter. All right, let's get into it. Verse 1, follow after divine love and desire spiritual gifts. Okay, so remember, they were desirous of spiritual gifts, but they weren't operating in love. He's saying you do need to desire spiritual gifts, but you need to follow after divine love. Desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. Did you know that that's really the case when it comes to speaking in other tongues? You don't know what you're saying. Your mind is not fruitful. We're going to talk about that here in just a second as we read through here. Your mind's not fruitful. Nobody else, possibly in the room, unless they happen to be speaking that particular language, will understand you. So it's really not for the public consumption, you might say, in a public meeting. Let's see if that's not borne out by what he goes on to say here. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries, or divine secrets, the Greek says. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and to exhortation and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies himself, but he that prophesies edifies the church. Notice there's the first occurrence of what we're talking about the church as opposed to the individual. All right, let's keep going. I would that you all spoke with tongues. In other words, let's take it out of the King James and read it from other translations. It says, I want you all to speak with tongues. Okay, folks, did Paul say plainly, I want you all to speak with tongues? Yes, he did. Later on in this chapter, he says, forbid no one from speaking in tongues. So if you're telling people they can't speak in tongues, and you're saying that Paul didn't want them to speak in tongues, you are biblically incorrect. Do you see that? Okay. I want you all to speak with tongues, but rather that you prophesy, for greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh in tongues, except he interpret that the church, there's that public meeting again, that the church may receive edifying. Do you see the distinction? He that speaks in tongues edifies himself and does so well, correctly. Okay? I want you all to speak in tongues. I want you all to edify yourself. Remember what Jude verse 20 says, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. When you speak in tongues and you pray in the Holy, that means you're praying in the Holy Ghost. That means you're edifying yourself. That's good. I want you to do that. But in a public meeting, it's better that you prophesy. Can you see that? Let's keep reading. I want you all to speak with tongues, but rather that you prophesy, for greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with the tongues, again, in a public meeting, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. Now, brethren, if I come unto you, now again, this is in a public meeting, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, except I shall speak to you either by revelation, or by knowledge, or by prophesying, or by doctrine. Doctrine would be teaching. And even things without life giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harp? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself for the battle? So likewise ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For you speak into the air. There are, as it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, None of them is without signification. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. Even so ye, here he is talking to the Corinthians, even so ye, for as much as you are zealous of spiritual gifts, you desire spiritual gifts, which he said was okay to do, but they'd gotten it out of balance. Okay, as you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. There's your highlight. Seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. In other words, in a public meeting. Speaking in tongues is good. It'll edify yourself. But in a public meeting, it's better to prophesy, to give forth a word of wisdom or knowledge, to have a doctrine, which is a teaching. Okay? You know that in a public meeting. You come to hear the word of God taught, or to receive some counsel or direction from the Lord. Not to hear people speak in tongues. Now, let me say this. If the congregation is worshiping the Lord and they're all speaking in tongues at the same time, that's okay. But he's talking about in order to instruct, in order to teach. And imagine, if you will, a service where all they did is you go into this service and all they're doing is speaking in tongues. That's what these Corinthians were doing. And somebody from outside come in and go, what in the world is going on here? Now, they're praising the Lord. That's fine. But if that's all they do, then nobody's being edified other than the person doing the praying in the Holy Ghost. And praying in the Holy Ghost individually, nothing wrong with that. But not in a public meeting where that's all you do. Are you with me? Okay. Four. Now, let me back up. Even so ye, for as much as you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. Why? Because the interpretation will give you public instruction or wisdom from the Lord, because when you speak in tongues, you're speaking divine secrets. Amen? So, pray that you may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. My spirit, the Holy Spirit, by means of the spirit that is within me, my human spirit prayeth supernaturally by means of the Holy Spirit moving in me, but it's my spirit praying, but my mind isn't fruitful. I don't know what I'm saying. And you say, well, then what good is it? Well, because when you pray in the Holy Ghost, you build yourself up on your most holy faith. And it says you edify yourself. The word edify means to build up. So you're building up yourself, just as Jude 20 says. So, nothing wrong with it, except in a public service where that's all you do. This is the instruction that he's giving us here. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit. He didn't say not to. He said, I will pray with the Spirit. And I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit. Nothing wrong with singing in the Holy Ghost. But I will sing with the understanding also. In other words, do both. It's not an exclusive situation. One or the other. No, do both. Else, when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupy the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? For thou verily givest thanks well. He never said that speaking in tongues and praying in tongues and singing in tongues wasn't giving thanks well. You are giving thanks well, but the other is not edified. Let's look at verse 17 again. This is a key point. For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other person is not edified. This is in a public meeting. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than y'all. Now think about that. Paul is correcting the Corinthians here because they spoke in tongues all the time in a church service. But did he say, folks, I never speak in tongues. I don't know why you're doing it. No, he said, I thank my God, I speak in tongues more than all of you. And the Greek here implies more than all of you put together. Now, that means Paul had to do a whole lot of speaking in tongues. You see what I'm saying? Wow. But he says, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. Yet, in the church, see, there's the distinction. There's where you have to use your highlighter again and realize it's in a church service is where his most concern is here, the reason he's writing. He says, yet, in the church, I had rather speak five words with my understanding that by my voice I might teach others also than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Now, again, he's not saying not to. He's saying I speak in tongues more than y'all folks, but in a church service. But in a public church service, I'd rather teach people so they receive understanding than speak in tongues all the time. Now again, during praise and worship, while you're singing in the Spirit, nothing wrong with that. But you only do that for a period of time, and then somebody gets up and teaches the word. That's proper order in a church service. See, once you get this concept in your mind, this is in a church service, is where his concern is, everything else falls into place. Now let's keep reading. In the church, I'd rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that they will not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not to him that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. If therefore the whole church come together in one place, that's what he's concerned about. That's what he's talking about. The whole church coming together in one place. That's a public meeting. Did I not say that's the key to this chapter? Amen. He says, therefore, the whole church come together in one place and all speak with tongues. That's all you do. And there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers. Shall they not all say you're mad? Amen. But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not or is unlearned, he is convinced of all. He is judged of all. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, there's your highlighter again, when you come together, every one of you should have a psalm, so there should be singing and praise and worship, hath a doctrine, somebody should get up and teach the word, hath a tongue, tongue's an interpretation, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done into edifying. In other words, let everything you do in a local church service be done to edify that local church. You see how that helps you understand the chapter? If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at the most by three, and that by course, or in other words, one after the other, not all at once, and let one interpret. If there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. Now, there are those who say, well, if I got a message in tongues, I can't help it. I've got to give it out. That goes contrary to this scripture. The scripture says, if there's not an interpreter present, let him keep silence. The spirit of the prophet, subject to the prophet. Amen. That's what he says next. Verse 32. I got ahead of myself and quoted the scripture. That's funny. Anyway, let the prophet speak two or three, let the other judge. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let him first hold his peace. For you all, may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and may be comforted. The spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. Praise the Lord. For God's not the author of confusion. Now here's the point about this in the local church. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. As in all the churches of the saints, this is the way it should be in all the churches of the saints. Okay? Why? That you may edify the whole body. Nothing wrong with speaking in tongues. Now, he goes on to talk about here about women speaking in a church service. Now, before we get into this, I gotta set some groundwork. Otherwise, you're going to get really confused. You're going to run off and say, see, women should never speak in a local church service, and therefore you should never have women ministers. There's women ministers listed in the New Testament. Okay? So, obviously, that's not the point. No, what he's talking about is, in this day, in this point in time, in the Corinthian church, the women at that time did not have a lot of public social discourse. Women at that time were basically told to stay off to themselves and remain quiet in public. That was the custom of that time period. The very fact there were women present in the local church was highly unique to that society. And sad to say, because of the way they were held down in that society, they didn't know how to act in a public church service. They spoke out, asked questions of their husbands, spoke over people who were teaching, because they simply didn't know. Okay? Now, that's nothing against them. They weren't in a public situation most of the time. Okay? So he was giving some instruction here. This was a new kind of situation with men and women in the same meeting for this society. And so it says, see, don't get all bent out of shape about this. Remember what the society they were living in. It says, let your women, now this word women here, but in the Greek there's no difference between married and unmarried woman. You have to do it, read it in context to understand whether he's talking about a wife or just a woman. But he's talking about wives here. How do we know that? Because later on he says, let them ask at home, meaning ask their husbands at home. So well, let's go ahead and read it that way. Let the wives of the men in the church keep silence in the church. It's not permitted for them to speak out loud asking questions. Make that clear in a minute. But they're commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. If they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands, he's talking about wives here, at home, for it's a shame for women to speak out in the church. Now, I added the word out. I'll admit that. Because that's what he's talking about. Speaking out over somebody that's teaching to ask a question of their husband. That's what he's talking about. That's the context. What? Came the word out from you, or came it to you only? If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. If any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Now he's a little ticked off here. He's basically saying, if you disagree with this, let the ignorant be ignorant. He's a little on edge as he's teaching this, because this has gotten to be such a big deal. You got women asking questions in the service. They're yelling out over people who are trying to teach. People are speaking in tongues all the time. You can't even hear anybody teach. It was a mess. He's saying, let everything be done decently and in order. Again, that's what he's about to say here. That's his whole point, is in the church. Don't let these things become distractions. Somebody should have a word, should get up and teach. Somebody should have a psalm or sing a song, praise the Lord, be a worship leader. There should be order in the church service. But now there's nothing wrong with a woman getting up and teaching if she has the message of the day. Remember, I said that and there's plenty of examples in the scripture where there were women who were ministers. Even in the Old Testament, there were women who ministered publicly. Amen. So don't think that this is an excuse to say you should never have a woman minister. No, you shouldn't have wives asking their husbands questions out loud in the middle of a church service and disturbing the service. Now, you might say, well, Dr. Bill, that's obvious. That's true. That's just decorum. Well, they didn't have decorum in that day. That's his point. That's why he's teaching them these things. All right. If any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy and forbid not to speak in tongues. There's nothing more clear than that scripture right there. Forbid not to speak in tongues. There are Christian schools and seminaries today that forbid their students from speaking in tongues in direct violation of this scripture. Absolutely incorrect to say that Paul did not want you to speak in tongues. He just said in a public church service, if that's all you do, it's just going to be confusion. And then he says, let all things be done decently and in order. Verse 40, that's the key to this whole chapter. The very last verse is the key to the whole chapter. In a church service, let all things be done decently and in order. Do you see that? Hallelujah. Whew, that's a lot to go through this chapter. But we did it. Praise the Lord. All right, we're just about out of time. I'm going to have to go. I want you to write me here. Our address is Word of Faith Ministries, P.O. Box 5213-5213, High Point, North Carolina, the zip code 27262. Now, you can write me there. You can ask questions. You can make comments. I'd love to hear from you, and I'd love for you to write me there. Or you can write me at my regular email address. And my email address is drbill, D-R-B-I-L-L, at wfm.org. And, of course, as I've said so many times before, you can go to our website, wfm.org. You can get our teachings, our videos, our audio messages. As a matter of fact, I wanted to mention this. I'm glad I remembered. You can get all of our audio messages, including all our old classic messages, on a memory stick, a USB memory stick. That offer is right there on the website on the first page. And if you go to the website, wfm.org, you will see that special offer. So I encourage you to go and do that right now. That's a deal and a half, I'm telling you. Praise the Lord. So you do that. Join us again next time. Remember, until then, to fulfill the Word of God. The Word of Faith Netcast is brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries and our partners around the world.